Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Long-term gain can be short-circuited when investors go for short-term, fast profits. The same is true in life. Going for immediate pleasures can ruin the potential to enjoy the overwhelming pleasures of God, pleasures that last a lifetime. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on 10 lies about God and why you might already be deceived. Today, Erwin Lutzer is speaking on lie number 9, that we must choose between God's will and our happiness.
Why is it that God allows some people to be addicted? It is God's way of reminding people that sin is a bad idea. It's a bad idea. That the pleasures of sin for a season are deceptive and very much lead to bondage. So, the pleasures of sin are overrated. In fact, there's a text in the scripture that says that he who rejoices in pleasure, and it's talking about now the pleasures of this world, is dead while he rejoices and is pleasurable. Remember that story of the man who walked into a funeral parlor and saw this marvelous, beautiful casket with, of course, the person who had died in the casket, and saw all of these flowers and saw this elaborate setup and said to himself, now that's living. That's living. He that is in pleasure is dead while he lives in that pleasure. And that's our temptation. If I could get this message across to every teenager today, because, see, the problem with teenagers, and we've all been there, and by the way, it's not just teenagers, it's folks like us who were teenagers a long time ago. The problem is, it's easy to look at the world and think we have been gypped. To say to ourselves, if only we could cast off these restraints and do our own thing. There is a story about a kite. A legend that said that the kite thought to itself, you know, if I could just get rid of that string, the string is holding me down. I'd be able to fly higher. I'd be able to fly as high as the stars. But that string is restraining me. Well, one day the string snapped. And the kite was so happy because now it could go to the stars and kiss those stars. But it discovered a law of aerodynamics that the string that holds a kite down is the string that holds it up. And I want to say to you, as I say to myself, that if we want to fly high, if we want to be the ones who are going to rise to the stars, let us remember it is best, it is inevitably best that God be in control. God must be in control. Well, notice how far we've come. God has many pleasures. We are created to seek pleasure. Our temptation is to seek the lesser pleasures, the pleasures of sin. Spiritual maturity, now we're on number 4. Spiritual maturity is to substitute the greater pleasures for the lesser ones. The greater pleasures for the lesser. Now take your Bibles and turn to the 16th Psalm. Psalm 16, where David talks to us about pleasure. Psalm 16, and there are dozens of passages to which we could turn, but I have chosen Psalm 16. You'll notice how David is talking about two different kinds of gods, two different kinds of pleasures, two different kinds of lifestyles. This is such a beautiful psalm that I shall begin at verse 1. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Can that be said about us? Apart from God, we have nothing that is good. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. Now notice, the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. The sorrows of those who choose pleasure. And when you think of that, don't think of just idols that you dance around. No, no, no. It says in Ezekiel, these people have created idols within their own hearts. You see, we are idolaters within because we have this hidden pleasure, because we say to ourselves, I'm doing my own thing and self is on the throne of my life. That is idolatry. And those who follow those kinds of gods, their sorrow shall be multiplied. Have you ever wondered why some people are so miserable? God is just trying to get through to them. That's all. It's His way. Misery is a gift of God. It is His way of saying, why don't you give up the fight? Why don't you turn to me? Why is it that you continue to go headlong in the pursuits of pleasures that have that aftertaste, that darkness, that sense of emptiness? Why is it that you will not turn to me? The sorrows of those who go after other gods are multiplied. You know what happens during times of revival when God really begins to minister? The desire to be right with God, the desire to seek His pleasures, is so overwhelming that people are finally willing to give up the lesser desires which they have held to their bosoms for years and years and years with self-justification and rationalization. Now notice, David said, as far as the false gods are concerned, he said, they are behind me, they have no part in me. So he looks back and he says, those gods are behind me. Around me I have nothing but blessings. Verse 5, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. You know, when he talks about the boundary lines, he's talking about the actual land that was divided up, you remember, when the tribes came. But of course, we can apply it. The boundaries have fallen onto me in pleasant places. God has just blessed us. Could you take out a moment and think about how God has blessed you? The very fact that you are here today, that you're listening to a message, that you've had the opportunity to sing and to give praise to God. The fact that you have Christian friends and a Christian family and have been adopted by God, and we have the scriptures, His love letter to us. Surely the lines, the boundaries have fallen onto us in pleasant places. We are surrounded by God's blessing. And by the way, even though we are surrounded, some people still being unable to be grateful. Surely, that is a disgrace. But he says, the gods, the false gods are behind me. He says, the Lord is before me. I have set Him continually at my right hand. God is always there. No wonder he can say also, therefore, verse 9, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. Now, there's some joy to go for. You want to pursue pleasure? Pursue those that have that sense of purity, that sense of fulfillment, that sense of saying, this is the purpose for which I was created. Let me give you the invitation of Scripture. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I rejoice, he says. Now notice that this is what happens in this life, and what happens after we die? You will, verse 10, not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. And this was applied also to Jesus. In the case of David, David was saying, I expect to live after the grave. In the case of Christ, it was, I am resurrected after the grave. And so it was applied to Christ in the New Testament. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Do you notice this in the text? David is saying, while I'm living, the Lord is at my right hand. After I die, I am at His right hand, where there are eternal joys and eternal pleasures. What a marvelous statement of the joy and the happiness in God. Now, we finally come to number 5. God Himself has many pleasures. We're created for pleasure. Our temptation is to seek the lesser pleasures. Spiritual maturity is to choose the more abundant, the greater pleasures of God. And number 5, God's pleasures, His will, if you please, and our pleasures converge and become one and the same. You've heard me say it before, but even if you, when you want to do what is best for you, and you should do what is best for you, you want to do that which gives you most pleasure, that give you most fulfillment. What do? You pursue God with all your heart and your mind and your soul, because the scripture says that he generously rewards those who diligently seek him out. There are pleasures at his right hand forevermore. And the enjoyment of God becomes the pursuit that we now undertake, and it is there that we discover our happiness. Now, you say, well, does that mean we're always happy, happy, happy? No. Not even Jesus was always happy, happy, happy. Look at Gethsemane. But here's what I want to tell you, is that when we pursue God, we discover that there is no contradiction, or let me put it more clearly, sorrow and joy can coexist. They do not cancel one another. I've seen this at funerals, where people on the one hand had sorrow, and we sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. There is also joy in the midst of sorrow. There is a bringing together of the delight of God and the harsh realities of life, and they coexist in the lives of those who pursue the pleasures of God. Some of you perhaps have read the biography of George Mueller. If not, I commend it to you. Mueller always prayed. He prayed day and night, and he said that he received more than 8,000 answers to prayer. In fact, I ought to tell you this, that Mueller ran a number of orphanages in England and never asked for money. Now, this doesn't mean that he did it, that everybody is supposed to do that, because we have examples in the New Testament of people asking for money. But he decided that he would do it this way for this reason. He said because there were people who no longer believed that God was faithful, and he had to give them a demonstration of God's faithfulness. So he always prayed the money in. But Mueller said this. He said, what is the first task of the Christian? Now, what if this were not a message today? What if I were sitting in your living room and you and I were talking and I were to look into your eye and ask you that question? What is the first task of the Christian, our first responsibility? Let me give you Mueller's answer. Mueller's answer was that the first responsibility of a Christian is to make his soul, or to find his soul, happy in God, to be content with God. See, because once you're content with God, you don't have to sin to find contentment. Remember that sin is what we do when God is not meeting our needs. If God were to meet our needs, if God were to be making us content, we'd be able to put up with an awful lot. That's why Mueller would get up early. He would read the Bible before breakfast with the intention of having his soul satisfied with God before he would begin the day. And then the rest of the day flowed from there. My soul, hope thou only in God, for my expectation is from him. As the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul pants after thee, O God. When shall I come before the Lord? May I delight in him. You think of all of the verses of Scripture that encourage us to find delight in God. But the moment we begin to do that, you begin to see all these thieves show up in our devotional time. They all come there saying, you're not going to be happy in God. You're not going to be happy in God. You're not going to be happy in God. What are they? Let me list those. People sometimes say, nobody can preach unless he knows his people. There's some truth in that, but I want you to know that all that a pastor has to do is to look into his own heart, and he's really looking into the heart of his congregation. We all struggle with the same things. Let me give you some thieves that will rob us of finding our all in God. First of all, guilt. Guilt. Sin causes the cup of joy to spring a leak, and therefore the joy that is in our hearts is drained out because of sin that we've not taken care of. You come before God and say, I want to delight in you today. I want to receive the joy today that I have. And immediately a sin issue will come up with which you have to deal. But God is capable of getting us beyond that hump. He is the one, who gets us there. A second thief that shows up is anxiety. Anxiety says, you're not going to enjoy God. You're not going to enjoy God. Anxiety. What foolishness. This past week, I woke up at 4 o'clock one morning and never went back to sleep because I was thinking about one small thing that I couldn't get out of my mind. What a waste of time. I woke up in the morning, all tired and everything because of something that I couldn't do anything about anyway, lying in bed. Foolishness. So God said to me, how do you expect to find your delight in me when you're focused on one little thing that you can't do anything about? Isn't that the ultimate foolishness? So we have to deal with that. We have to give those matters over to God so that these stray thoughts of anxiety don't come into our minds. And then there's such things as bitterness. Let me tell you the truth about Jonathan Edwards. Of course, I always tell you the truth, so I wouldn't have had to preface that with those remarks. But just in case, for those of you who are wondering, let me tell you a true story. Here's America's premier evangelist. You've all heard of him in the Great Awakening. Marvelous preacher who sometimes read his messages, at least at the beginning. He's the one, you know, who preached sinners in the hands of an angry God, and people actually held onto the pew and trembled because they thought that the earth was going to open up right then and that the final harvest would take place while he spoke, we read. Edwards was voted out of his church on a technical issue that I won't go into. An issue, by the way, that he was completely right about. But a shirt-tailed relative stirred up all kinds of controversy regarding him, and consequently, all this dissatisfaction spread within the church. They had a vote, and I think that he was ousted something like 230 opposed to 32-4. So he left the church. Well, that's a difficult pill to swallow. Some of you have gone through like that in your business. You've gone through all kinds of injustices. I know it because injustice permeates the globe. But this is what his biographer said. And this would have been worthwhile you coming to hear this sermon if you'd have only heard this. Are you ready for it? Because you can't miss this. His happiness in God was beyond the reach of his enemies. His happiness in God was beyond the reach of his enemies. You know, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Yes, there is that place where your happiness in God is beyond the reach of your enemies. They can't get to it because God continually delights your soul. Now, to complete the story, Edwards actually left the church and went to live with the Indians. And providentially, it was an excellent idea because it is there that he had more time and he wrote all those good books that some of us still continue to read today, which probably would not have been written if he had remained a pastor. He could see, therefore, within even injustice, the providence of God because his soul delighted in the Lord. So you take care of all those things. And then what you discover is that there is joy in God. There really is. There really is. Fanny Crosby, you know, was not born blind. As I mentioned in another message, she had perfectly good eyesight, but a little bit of rash when she was born around her eyes, and a doctor had some salve in those days that he thought was going to cure her, and it made her blind, burned out her little newborn eyes. She was not bitter over it because she accepted that too as God's providence. But one day, in a song that we are going to sing in a moment, she included this stanza. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, commune as friend with friend. Of course you were born to desire pleasure. In no other way that we can operate. But I encourage you today, go for the great pleasures. Go for God. Go for the delights. Go for that which is best for you. Go for your relationship with the Almighty, this happy God who commands us, delight thyself in the Lord. And say, I will not rest until I've come to know him. And I will have that quiet time before I leave for work in the morning. And I will pursue him. And I will deal with the issues that keep me from knowing him. Because remember, he rewards those who diligently seek him out. What do you mean this business of saying, we live a very boring life because we don't do worldly pleasures? No, 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 no. You live with the pleasures at God's right hand forevermore. Join me as we pray. Father, forgive us for drinking from such polluted fountains, trying to quench thirst that only you can quench. Forgive us, Father, for all the deceptions, all the sin that we allow in our lives, thinking that we can eke out some pleasure just before we die. We ask today, Father, that you will help us to understand that it is in God that we delight, and to remember the words of Augustine, O Lord, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their all in thee. Help us to be done with the pleasures of the world, and remember that he who does thy will abides forever. For those who have never trusted Christ as Savior, even today we pray that they may look to him as their Savior, that they might begin the lifelong pursuit of knowing the living and the true God. Create that within us, because we are needy, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My friend, whenever I'm asked to sign a Bible or a book, I always put Psalm 16:11, where the scripture says, "At thy hand there are pleasures forevermore." If we only understood the pleasures of God, we would not be so tempted by the pleasures of this world. That's why I think it is so important for us to saturate ourselves with the Word of God, remind ourselves continually of the gospel. And you know that that's what Running to Win is all about. I have in my hand a letter from a student who is in her 20s, and she said, "You inspired me, and through your program, Running to Win, not only have I gone back to church, but I now know how to apply the faith to my life." Well, that's what it's all about, isn't it? And you can partner with us. Go to moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org, and click on Endurance Partners. When you become an Endurance Partner, you are involved in the transformation of lives with us. You're standing with us to help people make it across the finish line.
Tsunamis kill hundreds of thousands. Earthquakes do the same.
Who can begin to calculate the amount of pain that has come to planet Earth through natural disasters? But the question is, what is God's role?
Erwin Lutzer's book, 10 Lies About God and Why You May Already Be Deceived, addresses tough issues like these.
We've talked about the lie that you can go to God in any way and at any time in any name. The lie that he can be refashioned and made into whatever we want him to be. The lie that he is more tolerant than he used to be. The lie that he has not suffered and was it last time? Yes, the lie that he's obligated to save the followers of other religions. Today we come to another lie. The lie that God takes no responsibility for natural disasters.
Much that's wrong in our day can be traced to people believing one or more of these devious lies. 10 Lies About God is a book by Erwin Lutzer that belongs in your home. A copy has been reserved for you with our thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When requesting your book, send whatever gift you'd like to help us further the outreach of Running to Win. Online, you can reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer, all one word, .com. A lot of people think the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. It doesn't. When it comes to salvation, here's what God really says. We cannot help ourselves. Only he can save. Next time on Running to Win, don't miss the final lie about God, that God helps those who help themselves. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.